Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskachari Satarine Namaste Girirajaya Shri Gaurvadana Namine Ashesha Klesha Nashaya Paramananda Daine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashaji Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, with great pleasure I would like to welcome all of you to this second part of the Mana Shiksha seminar, of which we will have today our first day. Mana Shiksha, of course, means what is needed, instructions to our own minds. As we have indicated yesterday, this will be the second part of the Mana Shiksha seminar. I assume that all of you have studied the first part very carefully and are familiar with its content, but I will give you in the beginning a little summary of where we are right now, so that you can easily tune in the second part. I also want to greet very affectionately those who are at Giriraj Govardhan only through sound, who are not sitting with us here. That is, I want to greet the increasing number of devotees who visit either live these Govardhan retreats through the internet audio streaming, or who visit the Govardhan retreat after it has come, and who hear that recorded messages wherever they are, in America, in Alaska, or on their deathbed. You are all very welcome, because during this Govardhan retreats, we are increasing, we are trying our level best to present a wonderful rasayana, a rejuvenating Ayurvedic medicine, which will help you to become more and more alive in your spiritual life. The day has started with Madhavananda's presentation, and then here in Gopinath's garden, where this seminar takes place, with a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful exposition on Krishna's Leela and Krishna's qualities by Burijan Prabhu. Burijan Prabhu has told us that Krishna personally wants to be known as he who takes care of his devotees, and he has given some extraordinary insights into some of Krishna's Leelas. And if you can make it a point to listen to this class, if you have not listened and joined us just later, I really want to recommend you. It was an extraordinary historic lecture. Good. First point, where are we now in the Padahati, in the instructions to the mind? Well, the first three verses, 1 to 3, of Raghunath Das Goswami's work teaches us about the goal and orientation of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. With goal, he talks about means the prajojana tattva, our original, our real highest aspiration. That has to be clear in a devotee's mind before he goes on his spiritual journey. And while he is on the spiritual journey, he has to remind himself again and again of this is my goal. And he has also talked about how to get there. That is what I, what we mean with the word orientation, you know. The land map, the road, the red line, the beeline, which brings you back to Radha and Krishna. Now, in the second part of his work, which comes from verse 4 to verse 7, he has spoken indirectly about the goal, that is, about the obstacles which are on the way. He has spoken about gross obstacles like gross attachment, lust, and he will, in verse 7, which is the first verse of our seminar, go into the root of all our obstacles. If you want to know from where does your, according to Raghunath Goswami, come all your obstacles, then this is now the time to listen very attentively. Raghunath Das Goswami, however, is not a negative thinker. He doesn't just talk about obstacles, but he gives solutions. And also, these solutions had been given in the verses 4 to 7. I strongly request you, so that you can get the most of this out of this seminar, to read our handouts, which we will soon be able to distribute. That at the end of this seminar, there will be a devotee there, and as you exit, or maybe better stand here, as you go out, you can get your handouts so that you can get the maximum benefit for your spiritual life. I request you as a homework, and I will repeat that, to really read from verse 1 up to verse 7, which we will cover today. So, verse 7. The root and the seat of all the obstacles. Now, listen very carefully, because it might help you to bring a solution to your spiritual life. Patishta sadrishtva svapacha ramani me hridinate gadham sadhu prema sprishati shutiretan nanumana sadatvam sevasya prabhu daita samantam atulam yathatam nishkasya tvaritam yatam veshayati saha. O mind, the shameless dog-eating woman of the desire for prestige, my own self-importance, that I can be recognized by others, this shameless dog-eating woman is dancing in the most precious place which I have, in my heart. How can pure divine love of God ever touch a heart which is full with this desire? Therefore, mind, you should always serve the unequaled beloved general of the Lord. He will at once throw out that outcast woman and cause pure love of Raja Prema to enter my heart. The problem in our heart, where Krishna should be, is a desire on the throne of our heart. I want to be important. Pratishtha. I want to be recognized. I want to be loved. The solution? Serve a great devotee of the Lord. So, there's a poem in the world by a Sufi master. It says, admit it. On your forehead there is one sentence written. Love me. Admire me, admit it. Raghunath Das Goswami describes this root desire, the desire for one's own honor and distinction, as the cause of all other anattas. This lies deep, like a dragon in the bottom of a volcano, in your heart, and it informs decisions, it informs other desires. Me. The Hari Bhakti Vilas says that even someone who is very far in the development of his own bhakti, who has renounced everything else, he goes in loincloth, he eats one meal a day. But even such a person often could not renounce the desire for distinction. Therefore, he says, if you are, Hari Bhakti Vilas says, an intelligent person who really desires love for Krishna to come into his heart, he should never touch the stool-like desire. Because it is Krishna whom we want to serve. Now, I will want to show you now, in the language of Raghunath Das Goswami, why we can say that this desire for one's own fame and glory, name, fame and glory, the same old story, why this is really the root of all our problems. Because when I first heard the verse, I don't know if you are like me, I felt, well, isn't that normal, you know? That I mean, some self-esteem needs to be there, no? Otherwise, I'm depressed and I'm insecure, and I can't go through the world, and the world will trample on me, huh? This is innocent. But this desire, the self-centered desire, you know, it's really a big problem. He gives us an example, because from this desire that I must be praised and I must be glorified, not Krishna, envy towards others come, and also an aggressive mentality and criticism. I could see that yesterday in my heart in a very embarrassing way. I was not entirely satisfied that the program didn't go my way yesterday, because I was in fever. I couldn't control my mind very properly. I thought it should go my way. I'm most experienced in retreats. Why does it have to go other ways. I felt that entering, but I was so ill and diseased that I was not careful. My mind was weak. And then some of you might have seen in my talk yesterday evening, I criticized and I used aggressive language. Because the moment you think my way, the moment you think not Krishna's way, you don't surrender to Krishna, this my way thought, no? This I should go my way, huh? Pratishtasa, this glory for yourself. You will become envious of others and you will be violent, aggressive, you can also say aggressive, and you will criticize. It is, so much anattas come from this. Therefore, you should avoid, if you're intelligent, this, you shouldn't touch it, just like a man avoids, or a woman avoids to touch stool. When you touch stool, you get typhus. So, Raghunatha Goswami, in order to bring this into our attention, uses now a very graphic example. He uses the example of Vesha. What is she called in Sanskrit? Svapacha Ramani, an outcast woman. You know, it's a woman who lives by the art of the flesh, and she runs after dog meat. We don't have this in the West, but you will find in India, at the end of villages, such women, they look very passionate because they nourish their bodies by dog meat. In the same way, this desire for fame, he compares with such a woman who runs after the dog flesh called fame. Oh, very, very, very female dog eater who lives on fame. Very strong words, Hare Krishna. Don't faint, it will become even stronger now. So, she is shameless. She dances in the heart. She is there. You know, the desire for fame is informing all other desires. Bluntly. You know how the Alaska researcher Mr. Scott financed his journey? He promised the famous people, the rich people who were not yet famous in America, I will call the names in Alaska, the ice mountains, after you. So one will be McKinsey, one will be McThis, one will be Mr. Smith, you know. If you would have been around and wanted to be famous, you could say, call this one peak, please, after me, you know, Govardhan Das. So this is how he got so much money, because to finance his expedition. This is how the desire for fame is living in the heart. People, you can manipulate people, get them money if you flatter them, because it's the highest desire they have. Now, if you allow this desire, pratishta, to live on in your heart, she will not like to stay alone. She will invite her so-called husband, Matsarya, or envy, to come and join her, because she wants union. You know, the desire for fame always wants to be unified, or will always be unified with envy on others who are better than you, who are more famous, who can talk better, who can run faster, who have more wealth than you, and more education, and so on. So, and these two now, this unfortunate couple, you know, it's almost like deep existential psychology here, the desire for fame and, what was it, envy, they will mate. And they will produce children, which is aggressiveness towards others, and asuya means criticism of others. So when these two, envy and the desire for your own importance, for your fame, dance in your heart, they will start a Tandava Nritya there, a dance of destruction. They will destroy all your Vaishnava qualities. If you allow this to stay on for longer time, good night sunshine, all your Vaishnava qualities will go. Mahaprabhu says, you need, if you want to grow the plant of bhakti in your heart, you need to be vigilant, not foggy in your brain, but you need to, like I was doing yesterday night, you need to be vigilant, and in your heart you need to quickly recognize this weed of pratishtha. Because if you don't do this, if you allow this to stay on, all your chanting, all your hearing will not serve your spiritual advancement. It will only help you to grow your pratishtha and the family. Was this clear? See, we all want to nourish the bhakti lata beach, our devotion. But next to it, there is a little weed growing, lots of weeds sometimes. And one is this pratishtha, this desire in the heart. And if you don't root it out, but you continue to chant and you continue to hear, but you are just maybe even not aware of it, maybe ignorant of it. It doesn't have to be a bad intention, just a little. Then everything will not go for Krishna. I have seen this with devotees. I studied the behavior of a devotee very carefully. I noticed whenever I was coming by, it was a devotee, you don't know him, it is a devotee in America, lives in America, who wants to be known as a very spiritual person. No? That's his desire. So whenever you come by him, you know, you see, he chants like, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, so to be known as a very spiritual person, you know, to look good. You know, it's not for the recognition of others where you do your bhakti. It's for the recognition of Krishna. This is what we want. Not that we are recognized as something special and something good. We want that Krishna is recognized. Pratishtha is like a poison. If you swallow it, it will destroy you. It will burn you inside. Whenever fame comes to you for your good works, and many of you do very good works, say, this is mercy of Guru Maharaj, but don't say it because you want to be known as a very good disciple. Say it because you know, on my own, I'm useless. I'm whatever good is there, it's the good which someone else gave to me. Good, enough of this heavy talk. What is the cure of this? Raghunath Goswami says here, one should sevasya prabhu dhaita samantam. One should serve the leader of they who are dear to the Lord. And he compares such a pure devotee here with a powerful general, almost like a police force. I remember once in the Heidelberg Temple in Germany, we had a person from the punk scene. He was a street fighting person, and he was a big fighter, a big you know, and he did something in the kitchen which I don't want to repeat here. He ate the unoffered food and did other things, which I don't want to repeat. And it was clear he was there to disturb the whole temple. And we didn't know how to deal with him because he was just an expert kickboxer and everything else. Very strong. So we finally called for a police force to come in. And it took five people to make him captive, to take him and to bring him out of the temple. So this desire for fame is also quite strong. It is quite strong. It's not some small thing. And you will need some force if you want to have it out. Therefore, the general of the devotees, the leader of the devotees, means a very pure devotee, should come and throw out this chandali, this prostitute and her associates who are in the heart, and then bring the great king of love, Krishna, on the throne of the heart. Some military action is required for this. It's not something small. I do know when the Americans went after their prime terrorist, you know, they had a whole squad, I think it's called, special trained army to just get into that building and get him out somehow. If we can believe the newspapers. So, in much the same way, if you want this desire to be out, you need a special intensive squad to work that is a real strong devotee, pure devotee, whom you should serve. And he will throw that out. And he will bring love in your heart. Do you sometimes want to have love of Krishna? Yes? Do you feel this is a necessary project or is it a luxury project? Maybe you feel if there is no overwhelming love for Krishna, no real spiritual emotions, then how will you go on in your spiritual life with your mind and sense control? How will you be successful? I think we should... We should understand our situation. Only if our heart blossoms with the fragrance of love will the other smells be will that go out. So Krishna is full of love, but he won't give it to you. It will not come to you from Krishna. The love, my dear devotees, which we are all hankering so much and which can throw out this desire for fame and this enviousness, you know, that will have to come from the devotee. And I would like to give you an example which I read. Look at this beautiful gulab. Gulab means rose as far as I know. It has... If you look in here, it's a little old, but still we can see there are these pollen. Huh? And in the pollen, there is honey. But you can't draw the honey out of this pollen on your own. In the same way, Krishna is like a beautiful rose, and there's the love in his heart, the love which Burijan Prabhu spoke about, the love for Srimati Radharani, the love for... But we, being so distant from Krishna, can't draw it out. It won't come from us. The devotee of Krishna, the pure devotee of Krishna, he will land at Krishna's rose petal-like lotus... I mean, let's not have two analogies. Krishna's rose petal-like feet. Huh? Yes. And he will draw out that love, just like a bee. The bee can come here in this, it's called the pollen, and then it lands there and it eats the pollen somehow, and then it draws out the sweet honey from there. You can't draw out love. You must get it from the bee-like devotees of the Lord who have that love in their hearts. And when they speak about Krishna, then it comes through their tongues out into your ears. This is the process to get love of God. There are two effects when you meet such a devotee. The two effects is, first of all, love will come in your heart. And the second is, your material attachments, your fear of material existence, and other obstacles are destroyed. And I would offer from the Shastras two proofs for this. The Bhagavatam says, if you serve the feet of the spiritual master, you are unable to develop transcendental ecstasy, rati rasa, in the service of the personality of Godhead. I don't know if you have ever considered this, to serve a pure devotee without your own motivations. I think many of you have done this many, many times, but we have a lot of newcomers here and in the internet. My dear devotees, if you're not familiar with this concept, I would like to encourage you for experiment. Please serve a pure devotee. Just give your best. Forget your own concern if you are not ill, do something in his mission, and you will all of a sudden wonder, my God, I feel so different, I feel so enlivened, I feel so the rati rasa, so rati rasik, that'll be in Sanskrit. Bhaktivinoda Thakur translates one verse, Sanskrit verse. I like his translation very much. He describes what happened to him. He was a normal person, and then some indescribable person came by, washed in his tears. He was just doing something in his house, and he was stumbling at every step. And now I'm no longer the same. He made it through the pathway of my eyes, and I didn't close the door of my heart. Now I'm also trembling in my body, and I want to run to Vrindavan. He says, I cannot say why my mind delights no longer in this material household life. Ever since some indescribable person came by, I lost my mind. This person was washed in tears. His body was covered with goosebumps. He was stumbling at every step. He was beaming in his heart and trembling excessively. And now I'm different. My dear devotees, I saw this in Stockholm at the airport. Maybe last Govardhana retreat I said it. We accompanied Srila Prabhupada to the Stockholm airport, where he waited for his return flight to England in the waiting lounge. And we watched how people with their Swedish dogs came by Srila Prabhupada and saw Srila Prabhupada. And there was one person. He looked very aristocratic, and he had this white dog sprinkled with black points. I'm not a dog expert. Maybe some of you can help me. What is it? Dalmatian. Yes, it was a Dalmatian dog. Very aristocratic dog. High head, high heel dog. This Swedish gentleman, obviously a man of the flesh, came by, this Dalmatian dog, and he became aware of Prabhupada, and as he walked by, he looked at Prabhupada and started to walk with his Dalmatian dog, and he just couldn't keep his eyes from Prabhupada. Then he bumped into the one stand, and all the perfume went all over. Then he fell on the ground, and he stumbled. And I don't know if he trembled in ecstasy or in shame, but he trembled. Some very good effect had come into his life. And I'm reminded when I read this verse, at that time I didn't know this verse, of this verse, that, you know, by this contact, something wonderful happens. We visited in Vashana a great devotee of Krishna who chants every day much more than 1 lakh of rounds, and who is just so humble that on his way he always goes like this, and he pays his obeisances even to Western devotees, and he is just so wonderful. And we just stayed in his association. He was like a child, but for just 1 hour we couldn't speak. We felt just so enlivened in our Krishna consciousness. We thought, oh yes, I should also chant more rounds, and yes, I should also be a little humble now. It comes in the heart, you know. Find such a devotee. Give your life to find such a devotee. Associate and serve with such devotees. Very important. And if you can't find him, Raghunath Das Goswami will tell us where you will find him for sure. That comes in the next verses. But for now, he just brings the point. This is necessary to do the main surgery, to bring your main obstacle out of your heart. Then there's another verse. Secondary, first result is love comes. Secondary result is your obstacle go. And there is this wonderful verse. It is in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, verse 26, text 31. For those who are who like to read these texts afterwards, the verse describes. Let me introduce the verse to you. A person who is wandering in a dark night, in a cold night, without orientation. And he sees at the far distance a fire and approaches the fire for help. So here's the verse for you. Just as cold, fear and darkness are eradicated for one who has approached the sacrificial fire, so the dullness, the fear and the ignorance are destroyed for one engaged in serving the devotees of the Lord. Are you sometimes dull? Are you sometimes fearful? Do you feel sometimes ignorant? Of course, we all feel this. So go to the fire of devotees. The devotees will dispel the darkness in your heart, the dullness in your heart. I had this. I was resting in Govardhan, and then Burijan came by with a torch of knowledge, and I had developed a very, very serious of deep questions, and I felt I need to solve these questions, and I shyly began to ask these questions to Burijan Prabhu, and I had prayed earlier, Giriraj, I need some answers to go forward. Please, I'm a very nasty person and not many people like me, so kindly send someone and talk to me about this. So then this devotee came with a shawl and a bicycle and expert riding and bicycle riding, and you know, I just asked these questions and I felt I had not really covered the depths of the question. And Bhujan also said, you are not telling what is behind your question. And I said, yes, I'm a little afraid. I'm a little bit from North Germany. I can't just in 1 second open my heart in 1 minute. I need time, and we don't have time. So I will just ask something, and let's see, maybe something comes from you. And then Bhujan gave all the answers and more. How? By Krishna's mercy, who speaks through his devotees. My dear devotees, when you are in the dark, when you are in the cold, when you feel dullness and fear and ignorance, go to the devotees. And just like, what an example. They are like a sacrificial fire. When you come to a fire, the coldness will go, the darkness will go, and from the sacrificial fire, do you know what happens? Krishna appears. In the old times, when you would do the swahas, at the end, the Lord would appear and come. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, the association of devotees is very powerful, like a blazing fire, and it frees one from all desirable qualities which are based on enviousness. This is the verse. I will give you now a summary so that you can take something home from this teaching, this instruction of the mind. As long as the desire for pratishta, for name and fame and your glory, is preeminent, that means it's there in the heart, your main, this cheating yourself and others will not be driven away. So what you need is, you need a transfusion of the Lord's potency, which will come through his devotees. A transfusion, a transmittance, a transferal. This is happening when you come to a devotee. The Lord's potency, which is invested in the law, in the devotee's heart, and which is yadrichaya, totally independent, will come and empower you. So you may now say, oh, nothing new for me, only I have heard about the results of the association with such powerful sadhus. Okay, but such exalted association, you know, the word is used here, the general, the leader of the devotees, this is very rarely attained. If it's, where can I find it? And this will be explained tomorrow in verse 8. Stay tuned in. We will now go to the second part of this seminar. We spoke about the Lord's transfusion of spiritual energy. The Lord is finding rest nowhere except in the hearts of his devotees. There he can repose or rest in peace. He cannot rest in the heart of the yogis or the karmis or the jnanis, because they all have selfish desires. But in the heart of a devotee, he can rest in peace because they want to satisfy him. So this Lord, I want to bring this Lord into your mind now through the best of Krishna's devotees, the gopis. We will hear a meditation, the best verse actually for meditation about Krishna. And we will hear something about this. And then I will request you to, I will relax you, and we will do a very powerful meditation, I think, I hope. It's not up to me, it's up to mercy of Giriraj. What we will do is, I will bring this verse now to your attention according to the revelations of the Acharyas, and then you will see if you have. I will request you to listen carefully, and then as I will talk, something will happen to you. Anyway, no magician tells his what he does. So you just do, and you will see something. I think it's necessary to, you know, we have heard how the devotees give Krishna and put the chanchali out of the heart. So we will make now an experiment on this. We will hear how the gopis see Krishna and meditate about Krishna, and this, and thus install Krishna in our heart, and then the undesirable things will go. Morning. Krishna had left with the cowherd boys and cows the village of Vrindavan. The gopis had stayed behind. They felt deep, deep longing for Krishna. So in order to soothe their hearts, they assembled at one place to talk about Krishna. But as they were just starting to talk about Krishna, the sound of Krishna's flute, carried by his dear servant the wind, came into Vrindavan. And as the gopis heard the sound, their inner eyes opened, and through the sound of the flute, through the Vani of Krishna, they saw a scene which they couldn't describe. They became speechless. They sat there, all seeing the same scene, but they couldn't talk about it. Shukadev Goswami talked about it. Mahapitam natavara vapu karnayo kanikaram Vibratvashakanakakapisham Vedajantim Shamalam Randran Vino Adara Sudaya Purayango Pabrinde Vrindaranyam Svapadaramanam Pravishat Gita Kirti. This is what the gopis saw. Krishna was wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head. There were blue Kanikara flowers on his ears, trumpet shaped. His hip was girded by a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaijajanti garland was moving on his chest. Lord Krishna was in the mood of the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, and he beautified it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and all the cowherd boys sang his glories. Let us, before we meditate about this in seriousness, just get the picture a little clearer. Krishna is dressed as a dancer. That means he has different lotus flowers, mango sprouts. You know, mango is fresh, very nice twigs, and there are sprouts. There are clusters of flowers and buds. The chalk of Vrindavan's earth is used to draw, you know, designs on Krishna's cheeks in yellow or reddish colors. And he's like a dancer ready to enter the stage. Those of you who are performers know, just before entering a stage, a certain Shakti enters the performer. That Shakti which will move him if he is a good performer, and will make him say things which move others and dance. And Krishna is just, it's an excited atmosphere just before entering Vrindavan's forest. Krishna is full of excitements. And the moment he enters with this beautiful dress and this beautiful mood, something happens to Krishna. Krishna starts to dance. Natavaravapu means that form which makes every living entity also dance. And you will now hear, this is quite a scene which will happen now. You must know, in other avatars, the Lord is not so much fond of dancing. But Krishna is always dancing and makes everyone dance as well. When Krishna enters the forest of Vrindavan, the peacocks begin to dance, the swans dance, although they are usually not known for their dancing skills. The gopas dance. Anywhere, everywhere, anytime, Krishna just dances. You know, even when he kills a demon, like he kills the Kaliya demon, what does he do in the midst of all this? You know, we call it the ultimate fight in our civilization. You can see in New York, two strong guys and the ultimate fight, you know. So Krishna is there for the ultimate fight. You know, he will conquer Kaliya. There will be drama in this, but Krishna just dances. and even when he does something so serious as lifting the Govardhan hill, you know, and protects the whole village of Vrindavan, Krishna just can't stand still. He starts to dance because he's the Lord of joy, of rasa. Seeing him, all the devatas start to dance. You know, as our I think, Bhujang Prabhu, you said this yesterday. Krishna is, how was it when he's under Giriraj? His left thumb is tucked in his right thumb. Yes, right. His hands with his left hand, he holds Giriraj. His right thumb is tucked in his, What is the color of his red? Dhoti is yellow and there's a red belt there. And Krishna is just there. And he thought. Then he thinks, oh, you know, let's get some movement here. And he takes his hand out, takes his flute and starts to play his flute and dance, you know. And all the Bishwasi say, that's good. No need. This is very dangerous. The hill might fall down any moment. But you must know that Krishna is not Nataraj. He is Natavara. Shiva is Nataraj, the king of dancers who destroys when he dances. He gets into this Tandava Nritya, his hair flies around, and the whole creation gets absorbed in this hair and he destroys everything. Krishna never destroys when he dances. There is no harm, there is no rough ball dance, you know. There is no rough German kirtan dance. When Krishna is the best of dancers, very elegantly, and he inundates the world with waves of bliss. No need to fear. So when Krishna goes into the forest and his mother is and all the other Brijbasis are turning back to go to the village. Actually, some are carried back into the village. Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj are carried on stretchers back because they fainted when Krishna went into the forest. But the moment Krishna is alone, his lotus feet start to dance in such a way that the art of dancing becomes ashamed. Then his anchor belts, start to make this sound. And because Krishna wants to really move as he dances, he takes his pitambara, that's a decorative cloth which hangs like this, and he says that this will fly all over. So he binds it around his waist, and then he starts to dance. The Vaijajanti Mala dances, which decorates his chest. His fingers began to dance upon the holes of the flute. Krishna's two eyes, which are more beautiful than baby deers, bambis, begin to dance. What is this called? Eyebrows begin to dance. Then his makara-shaped earrings begin to dance and bathe his cheeks in a splendor. Everything just starts to dance. Even the peacock feather, which is stuck in the top knot, here begins to dance. There is not one single part in Krishna's body which is not dancing. And in such a way, the Lord makes the whole world just dance. There's a poem which I want to read to you. Shrita mridu tada ganda kundala diya. I missed the rest of the Sanskrit. So the makara earrings that swing on Krishna's very soft cheeks are expert in teaching his eyes how to dance. So apparently the earrings dance here. Krishna sees it and then his eyes begin to dance. He pleases all directions with the luster of his golden cloth that is swung by the soft wind. There is a luster emanating from his body in bluish waves. You know, Krishna dances, but don't just think the dance is just three-dimensional. It is multidimensional. The waves of his dancing beauty is just permeating everything and colors the whole forest of Vrindavan, which starts to also then dance. The luster of his dhoti is light like the fair-colored Ganga, and this dhoti is just yellow, and the luster of his body is like the dark Yamuna, and together, just body and his clothes, it looks as if there is a prayag, a confluence between Ganga and Yamuna. So when Radharani hears about Krishna's mode of dancing from Kundalata, she drinks this information through the cups of her ears and closes her eyes and sees Krishna dancing like this with his gopas, but very elegantly, not like this German folk dance movement. And she faints from the effect of these two kinds of nectar, you know, the katha and the visualization. But then, as Radharani falls down on the ground, Krishna sees, oh, my Radha has fainted, and he tells the wind, wake Radha up, and the wind carries the fragrance of his body into Radha's nostril, who then wakes up. Hare Krishna. I thought this is a little nectarian. I want to now... Well, see, the dance starts already outside here. Music, music, music. I think it's moving, isn't it? Because we want to meditate now, and but just listen a little bit to this joyful music. I don't know if you can appreciate it in the same way as I can appreciate it. I'm very disturbed personally when I am on my personal japa retreat and all this sound is there. But when you can just relax, you know, very joyful. You can see them just playing crazily the harmonicon and doing everything. So Krishna is the Lord of joy, the Lord of dance, and as he enters the forest of Vrindavan, he brings it alive. And he puts his lotus feet there and leaves his marks. I'm sorry, I can't do my meditation as long as they are around. It's a good preparation for our meditation. Let's purify our consciousness. How are you? Are you awake or are you sleepy? Let me study you very carefully and see if you say the truth or not. You look all right. Are you ready to meditate? Okay. First, we need to put some energy into your bodies, because this will be just very, on an inhale, come up, on an exhale, come down. Whenever you come up, open your hands. When you come down, close them. I'm sorry, heart patients, thank you, Burijan Prabhu. Don't do this, otherwise we have to carry you out with a stretcher. Only through the nose. Try to operate a little bit in the back, you know. In other words, your hands should... You want to have a little tension there. Wow, this makes a great photo. Bring your hands slowly underneath your navel. Men should place their left hand first and the right hand over the left hand. Women in the opposite direction. Women, right hands on the underneath the navel and then left hand on top of it. Breathe very deeply and relaxed, naturally, without forcing anything. Notice the change in energy. Mm-hmm. notice the sound of the surroundings. Maybe you hear some birds. And get ready for your second round of Bhastrika Pranayama. Fists at more strength. And breathe naturally. Concentrate your awareness on the sounds around you. Maintain a deep breathing. This will help you to sharpen your mind, which will soon enter meditation. Krishna's dearest devotees, the gopis, assembled in the village of Vrindavan. They hear from afar the sound of Krishna's flute. And as they see, as they hear the sound of Krishna's flute, a beautiful vision comes into the heart. A vision where they see their beloved from top to bottom, from his head down to his feet. Let us now simply hear about the meditation of the gopis and enter through their eyes, through their hearts, into an experience of Krishna. Govinda is adorned with a variety of forests, ornaments. See the peacock feather crown, the Kanikara flower on his ear, and the multicolored Vaijajanti garland. Has a very special multicolored dress, and he dances very freely. Everything on the Lord of Dance dances. Dress, the fingers of his hands as he plays the flute, his eyes, and even his eyebrows. his footprints leave marks in the dust of Braj. The thunderbolt, the fish, the octagon, the lotus flower, the flesh. Their tunes coming from his flute, which he placed in the most extraordinary of ways. The gopas and gopis become maddened with loving ecstasy as they listen to these tunes. This is what the gopis see. Wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue kanikara flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaijayanti garland, Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendent form at the greatest of dances as he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips. And all around, the cowherd boys sing his glories. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Bo, Jai Nitai. Oh, sing please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I would like to give now a summary of what you have heard and also of the practices which you can take in your daily life to make Krishna consciousness alive in your own heart. We have heard about the main obstacle from which all kinds of other obstacles grow. It was this desire for fame. In Buddhism, they also recognize this as the main obstacle. They call it self-indulgence. To not be engaged with Krishna, but with your own and your own glories, and to subtly then control your environment to get the fame. Huh? This was pratishtha, and it's very, very strong. It's very subtle. It's sometimes extremely difficult to recognize. And therefore, we need the contact with a powerful, pure devotee. We will hear more about this and where we can find such personalities in text 8. You will hear amazing instructions in text 8. So, we have then done something which is very, very, very helpful. We have tuned into the vision of the greatest devotees, that is the Gopi Gita, the Gopis, and their realization, which they talk about, which is discussed in the Venu Gita. And we have tried to see through their eyes, and we hope that for all of you, when you were participating, that you could at least for even a fraction of the second contact Lord Krishna's beautiful form, his qualities like his playfulness. We focused on his dancing and so on. This is something which you can also do when you read the Shastra, especially when you read Venu Gita or prayers like Prahlad and Dhruva Maharaj. See through the eyes and of these great exalted devotees, and you will see after some time you're no longer interested in the chanchali, that psychological need of an unfulfilled heart, because your heart is fulfilled. This was the instruction of this verse, and we have done some exercise around this. Thank you very much. I'm sorry I went a little over time. See you tomorrow at 12:30 sharp. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Shri Giriraj Maharaj ki jai, Go Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo.